is episode 5 of the Rookie Big Board podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, at the FF underscore educator, director of fantasy football for the NFL Draft Bible, the official NFL draft provider for Sports Illustrated. On today's episode, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We are coming off of an impactful month of January in the college football transfer portal. And so what we're going to do on today's episode is we're actually going to break down the biggest impact Devy transfer moves on the Devy fantasy football landscape. Now, I know this is a rookie podcast primarily, but we're going to dig into Devy sometimes. We're going to dig into Dynasty and explore that in different contexts because that's going to help you be a better evaluator of the rookie process. Learning about these guys early on, even if you're not watching film, even if you're just picking up on their names and understanding the types of impacts that they have on the game early on, that's going to make you better in your process. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's about bringing you into my process and helping you understand the keys that will in turn help your process. With that being said, this is a brand new podcast. We're about 5 episodes in here. Please, I need your help in growing that. If you're listening on your favorite podcast provider, please leave a 5-star rating. Leave a review. It really helps others get to know the podcast as well. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, give it the thumbs up. I really appreciate your help in growing this. Now, normally what we do is we start out with a question from the patron Slack channel. We're not going to do that today because this entire episode is actually based on a conversation from the patron Slack channel. So I feel no need to add another question on top of that. This is an entire episode born out of the conversation that we were having a couple weeks back, talking about the impact and the value of some of these players moving around teams in the college football landscape. With that being said, patreon.com/theffeducator is where you can go ahead and join the community, get in on that Slack. For just $3 a month, you not only get access to the Slack channel, you also get access to the Rookie Big Board itself, 169 prospects, the top 200 Devy prospects for 2021, ranked top 200 Dynasty players for 2021, ranked, as well as cornerstone rankings, all of those rankings broken down by position on top of that. By the way, if you want to go above that, you can get personalized advice, one-on-one coaching and calls for your rookie drafts this upcoming year, as well as some other really awesome features. Patreon.com/theffeducator. With that being said, let's go ahead and let's jump right into it. So we're building a big board today of 10 players. Again, the high impact Devy transfers shaking up the college football landscape. Now, I got to be honest, I say we're ranking the top 10. We're really ranking the top 16 because I have some honorable mentions and I have some double ups here on the big board. So I want to start. I'm going to quickly go through my honorable mentions and then we're going to actually go in there and build the big board. And we have to start here with Tyrell Shavers out of South Dakota State University. Yes, now South Dakota State University. But if you're familiar with Tyrell Shavers, if you've been following the interesting journey of this 6'6", 200-pound wide receiver, you would know that he originally was recruited to Alabama. He lands in Tuscaloosa, can't win out a job in that really competitive wide receiver room. So he transfers to Mississippi State, and he kind of gets caught up in this Mike Leach turnaround. He actually looked decent. He played in 4 games. He had 9 receptions, 107 yards, and a touchdown. So there was an opportunity there, but it kind of got washed up. And so Tyrell Shavers now heads west, and he goes to San Diego State University. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why am I interested from a Devy perspective of a guy who's already transferred twice? He couldn't win out the job at Alabama. He couldn't win over the new coach at Mississippi State. Well, he's going to head to South Dakota State. And if Shavers lives up to that 4-star highly touted recruit bill, he's going to ball out in San Diego State. They're building a roster of transfers, which means I think they could be competitive quickly. And I think he could put up some really huge numbers. So he's going to jump on the Devy landscape. Another honorable mention here is Kenneth Walker, formerly of Wake Forest. Now he's moving over to Michigan State. This is a really interesting move, and it affects not only Kenneth Walker, but also the incumbent running back there in that offense, Elijah Collins. Elijah Collins has run for over 1,000 yards in the last 2 seasons for Michigan State, so there's opportunity here for Kenneth Walker, the 5'10", 206-pound back. I expect them to probably split that volume fairly evenly. Walker, over the last 2 seasons, he's run the ball 217 times for 1,158 yards and 17 touchdowns. Now, interestingly enough, 13 of those touchdowns came in his 7 games in 2020. So high volume touchdown potential. We'd love to see that from a fantasy football perspective. Just an interesting stat to go along with Walker here, 579 rushing yards in both 19 and 20. So actually the same amount of rushing yards in his first two collegiate seasons. He's really an in-between-the-tackles runner, a power-type back, and you could kind of see that reflected in his touchdown numbers as well. So it will be interesting to see how he fits in Michigan State, but he definitely needs to be talked about. A pair of quarterbacks here to round out the honorable mentions, and then we're going to go into building the big board itself. Ryan Helinski from Northwestern, a really interesting prospect here, 6'3", 225 pounds. He's a former four-star recruit. He originally landed at South Carolina, and he starts the true freshman for the Gamecocks, but he was not ready. 58% completion rate, not great. 2,257 yards, that's fine. 11 touchdowns, not great. 5 interceptions, not great ratio. So he ends up losing his starting job, and now in comes the new coaching staff with Beamer there replacing Muschamp, and it was just time for Helinski to get a new start. And I actually really like the Northwestern landing spot. It might not be the flashiest, it may not be the sexiest, but look what Peyton Ramsey was able to do in that Northwestern offense after the previous quarterback there had left. Ramsey came in as a transfer, and he was able to step in, and he took right over. And Peyton Ramsey looked good. He made himself a legitimate NFL draft prospect. Now, was he a top NFL draft prospect? No, but Helinski will have 3 years if he wants to take all 3 years to try to grow into that role. So I think there's a lot of upside there with Ryan Helinski. Another quarterback here with upside being the key word is Lance Legendre, heading to Louisiana, the Raging Cajun, 6'1", 215, dual threat back. He was one of the top quarterback recruits in the 2019 high school cycle, four-star out of New Orleans, Louisiana, so he heads back closer to home. Louisiana is returning a lot of starters this year. It's an offense that's going to be ready to compete and ready to win. Now, he originally was at Maryland, and he couldn't beat out Tagovailoa. There's no knock on that. I got to tell you, from a Devy perspective, Tagovailoa, the younger brother of Tua Tagovailoa, now at Maryland, he looked really good in a limited capacity. The Terps didn't get to play a lot of games here in 2020, but they looked good, and they looked good at the quarterback position and throwing to Rakeem Jarrett, the wide receiver, as well. So that offense was clicking a little bit. Legendre, he can't win out that job. Again, it's not the biggest knock on him, and I think he's going to go play against this group of five competition. I think he is going to tear it up. I think he steps in right away. And I think we see his value skyrocket as those numbers skyrocket. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Legendre is ever going to be a first-round NFL draft pick, but you're never going to get him cheaper from a Devy sense, and you will be able to return profit on that. All right, so that's our honorable mentions. Let's go into actually building our big board here today. And we're going to start with Grant Gunnell, the quarterback formerly out of Arizona. Now, he is heading east, and he's going to play for Memphis. He's a 6'6 gunslinger, big body, big frame, 228 pounds, and he looked really promising as a true freshman for the Arizona Wildcats. 65% completion rate, 1,239 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. And if you remember, if you're following Pac-12 football, you would know that the reason those numbers look kind of low is because Gunnell didn't start for the Wildcats as a true freshman. He won that job over the course of the season against Khalil Tate, who is now in the NFL. He's not playing in a quarterback capacity, but he was the prominent quarterback leading a high-flying Arizona offense at the time. Well, high-flying is not what you could use to describe them in 2020, and Gunnell ends up still looking okay despite the entire offense being defunct. It leads to the coaching staff getting totally replaced. But like I said, he looked okay. His completion percentage actually went up to 68.8%. He throws 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. They only played 4 games. It's hard to judge. The exciting thing, the Devy upside behind Grant Gunnell being here, is that the Memphis offense has that high-octane ceiling. Now, Brady White has been starting for the Memphis Tigers, I swear, for 7 years. So we haven't seen a different quarterback in that offense in a long time. But I think Grant Gunnell is going to light it up against AAC defenses. And we have seen that AAC quarterbacks can have legitimate fantasy football value. As much as they are a group of five school, they are as close to the Power Five as we could get. And quite frankly, on some weekends, you know, Memphis and UCF, they look better than some of these Power Five programs. Moving on here to number 9, it's somebody who I think is going to fly a little bit under the radar. It's Ty Chandler, formerly of the Tennessee Volunteers, and now he's heading over to the UNC Tar Heels. Now, I mentioned he's underrated. I've actually gotten knocked multiple times for keeping Ty Chandler on my Devy rosters. I was a little bit more excited about him a couple years back, but I held on to him because oftentimes in Devy, there's really, if you can't trade an asset, you just hold on to him. And you don't usually want to cut your losses until you really have to. And Ty Chandler is a perfect example of holding on to your guys, even in leagues where there's limited roster capability, because Chandler has been productive for the Volunteers over his four-year career. He's going to be a graduate transfer to UNC, but in 4 years for the Volunteers, 2,046 yards, 13 touchdowns, 58 receptions. Now, he was never the guy. He always split that volume, but look at what he is stepping into here, heading to the Tar Heels. Now, I think he's going to take on at least a 50% role in that offense, and the offense has a ton of vacated production. Michael Carter last year ran for 1,245 yards. Javonte Williams, he ran for 1,140 yards. And combined, they found the end zone 28 times. There's a ton of opportunity here for Ty Chandler to work his way into being a legitimate day two or day three NFL draft pick. And I know what you're saying, day two or day three NFL draft pick, that's not exactly the most exciting sounding thing. Why are you getting excited about him? Well, Javonte Williams is a day two NFL draft pick right now. There's not a chance he goes day one. That being said, he carries a ton of Devy value right now. Get in on Ty Chandler while he's still cheap. You're going to be able to flip him later on. He's number nine here on the big board of high impact Devy transfers. And we're going to move on to number eight. This is a really fun player heading from Nebraska over to Kentucky. It's Wandale Robinson. I have him listed as an athlete here. He truly is a hybrid player. He's a fun player. He's 5'10", 185. Now, he lined up all over the field for Nebraska. He ran for 580 yards on four touchdowns. He caught 91 balls for 914 yards and three touchdowns for the Cornhuskers. So they were really using him in a variety of ways. And truly, they haven't really unlocked Wandale Robinson. But I believe the Kentucky offense, which is more creative and more utilizes their athletes better than I think a lot of folks give him credit for, I think Wandale Robinson is going to look really good in this Kentucky offense, who's kind of desperate for a playmaker to come in there and give them an injection. They have some other pieces that are coming in. You know, Joey Gatewood could potentially win that starting quarterback job. So they're definitely looking for a piece to come in there and give the offense a jolt of energy. That puts Wandale Robinson number eight on our big board of high impact Devy transfers. And we're just going to keep building here. And the excitement, you're probably going to hear my voice, is going to keep building. I like Charleston Rambo. He's formerly of Oklahoma, and he has transferred to Miami. I love this transfer spot for him. Rambo, he's lengthy. He's a field stretcher. He's 6'1", 175, and he exploded in 2019 for the Oklahoma Sooners. He caught 43 balls, 743 yards, and five touchdowns. Now, here's a key stat we'd like to see, 17.3 yards per reception for Charleston Rambo back in the 2019 season. Now, he kind of falls off the map a little bit. It's clear with Rattler coming in, he clicked with other guys, fell off the map, like I said, a little bit, 25 receptions, 312 yards, and just the three touchdowns for Charleston Rambo in 2020. So he wasn't terrible, but it was clear that they were not moving in a direction in Oklahoma where he was going to be the guy. Now, in Miami, opportunity will be aplenty. He's going to head there, and he's going to instantly be the wide receiver one. I know they have Hartley coming back, and I think he's a fine player. But whether it's King coming back healthy from his injury, hopefully that's what we're hoping for, best case scenario, or even if a young guy like Garcia, one of their incoming highly touted quarterback prospects, gets a shot to play right away, they're going to be looking at Charleston Rambo because he is quite literally a large target. He has consistent hands. He could stretch the field, like I said. I really like Charleston Rambo and what he can bring here to this Miami offense. Moving on. Another under-the-radar guy. I think we're sleeping on Ramon Davis. He transferred from Temple to Vanderbilt. And I'll tell you specifically why I think we're sleeping on Ramon Davis. I think it starts with the fact that he really was one of the first guys to announce his transfer, and it was a little bit of a surprise. It seems to be now that there might be something else going on at Temple. There's kind of a mass exodus there of that program. But when it comes to Davis himself, he has looked good, especially in his true freshman season. Explosive, agile, moves all around the field. I like his vision. I think he's got really strong upside. Now, in 2019, as a true freshman, he ran for 936 yards and eight touchdowns. I think he's going to be a bell cow back at Vanderbilt. You don't get a lot of high-volume guys when it comes to playing the running back position in college football, especially in the SEC. But I think they're going to give Davis 200-plus carries, 250-plus carries here over the next two seasons. I do think it's going to be a two-year progression for Ramon Davis to really take that leap up and declare for the NFL draft. But we have some momentum going in Vanderbilt. A new coaching staff, Clark Lee coming in there. We have The successful first season for the freshman quarterback there last year. So the offense is turning around. The new coaching staff is there. We're building some momentum. And I think Ramon Davis is going to be blowing up the box scores playing against some of the toughest defenses in the country over the next couple of years. And he's going to really shoot up my rankings. And I think he's going to really shoot up in value. Now, I mentioned I was going to cheat a little bit. And here's another example of me doing that. I'm actually stacking two prospects here in number five, but they're both headed to Florida State. It's Mackenzie Milton and Andrew Parchment. So let's start with Milton. That, of course, is the guy who jumps out the page to any college football fan, understanding the impact that Mackenzie Milton has brought to the game of college football. Now, he is fully recovered medically through his doctors and team doctors from the devastating injury that ended his 2018 season. And what most expected to be the end of his football career, Mackenzie Milton bounces back and he's healthy and he's heading to Florida State now after being out of the game since that injury in 2018. Now in 2018, he did finish sixth in Heisman voting and he was eighth in Heisman voting in 2017. Over his career, which was primarily spent with the UCF Golden Knights. And if you remember, Mackenzie Milton won the national championship there in 2017 with the UCF Golden Knights. For those who are familiar with that storyline, he threw for 8,683 passing yards and 72 touchdowns with a 61.8% completion rate over the course of his UCF career. Now, I have to be honest. I have no clue how the medicals are going to hold up when it comes to the NFL bar. They have a high bar. Teams are not usually willing to take the risk with injuries, and they're especially not going to invest high risk first day draft pick. It's not an option most likely for Mackenzie Milton, but if he comes out and he balls out and he has a good season, he's going to at least push the conversation. He's going to force himself to be a legitimate NFL draft pick consideration, and I can't wait to see it because he has been nothing but excellent on the field. And the guy coming in from Kansas, I think, is going to help him look excellent on the field. Andrew Parchment, 6'2", 180 pounds. He's a burner along the sidelines. He's a nice boundary receiver. I think he can help any team stretch the field. I think he's not given as much credit for his speed as he really does display. Now, Parchment has quite the story. He starts off at JUCO. Then he heads to Northern Illinois. Then he heads to Kansas. Then he heads to Florida State. And I know what you're thinking. That's a lot of movement. That sounds like a red flag to me. Yeah, it's not the path that I'd want every player to take, but he's moving up each time. Starts at JUCO, he moves to Northern Illinois, then he gets to Kansas, he gets to this Power 5 program. Kansas not really known for being an innovative offense, and I know I have Kansas fans listening to this, so I'm not going to rail the offense again. But now he's headed to Florida State, and I think he has the opportunity to be the guy in that offense at the wide receiver position, and he's paired up with Mackenzie Milton. So I think he is on the fast track to the NFL. He starts off as a day three guy, but I think he has a really, really high ceiling. And most folks, unless you're really honed in on Devy, you probably don't even know about Andrew Parchment yet, but you should, because I think he's a guy with a really high value ceiling. And as we move in here to our top four spots on the big board, we're going to start to get into some pretty big names because this was a super active transfer portal. And we got to start here with Keyonte Ingram, formerly the running back for the Texas Longhorns. And now he's moving a little bit west there, and he's going to Southern California. He's going to be with the USC Trojans. This one, for me, it's big in two senses. First, you have to start with the Texas implications. It's a wide open backfield for Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson, if you look at my Devy rankings, which again, you have access to at the $3 level of the Patreon, he's the highest 2023 guy, true sophomore running back for Texas this year. He's going to absolutely explode. If you take nothing else from this podcast, if you're a casual if you're not a Devy fanatic necessarily, know Bijan Robinson's name because he's gonna absolutely light up the college football landscape this next year. I believe he's number six overall for me. He's a really high guy on my rankings, and he's gonna have a wide open backfield at Texas now. But back to Ingram specifically, because I think he's a little bit of a debated value right now. He's 6'0", 222, and he's always just been on the cusp of breaking out from a Devy perspective. He's had good numbers, 700 yards and three touchdowns and just 140 carries as a freshman. He gets to his sophomore year, 853 yards, seven touchdowns. All right, we're working our way up. We're starting to see him find the end zone more often, which is always exciting. And then he just kind of fizzles out in 2020. And ultimately, it wasn't necessarily Bijan Robinson, much to the chagrin of a lot of Devy diehards. Really, what cost Keyonte Ingram his job at Texas was the fumbling. He kept fumbling and he kept fumbling in high pressure situations. Now, for me, it speaks to Ingram's skill set that he was able to hold off Bijan Robinson for so long. And you take that skill set and you send it west to USC, who needs a running back to assume a high volume role in an offense that I think is going to look very good. They're going to find the red zone a lot. So Keontae Ingram could be featured in the red zone a lot. And if he gets the fumbling problem under control, I think he could be a really high impact guy. Now, I mentioned he's been at Texas for 3 years. Despite all of that, he only has 339 carries on his body. So legitimately, he could go to USC, he could light up the scoreboard, he could run the ball 220 times, and he could have a lot of momentum going into the NFL draft with less than 600 carries on his body. I think Keontae Ingram is a sneaky value right now. I know why folks want to sell, and I wouldn't have hyped him up if he went to a lot of destinations. But the fact that USC wants him to be their key guy and the skill sets that we have seen at times, I'm willing to put the 2020 season aside and start anew with Keontae Ingram, except now I get him at a huge discount. I think you could basically get him for free because his name is a little tarnished right now, but I'm still interested and I'm still all in here on Keontae Ingram, now the running back for the USC Trojans. Number three, hey, listen, maybe I did this whole podcast episode just so I could talk about Zach Charbonnet, because I'm excited to. I am thrilled. Charbonnet is free. He is free from the Michigan offense. We have been waiting for this. He has been absolutely misutilized and buried. He's 6'1", 220 pounds. He's a former four-star running back, powerful back. He runs right through Big Ten defenses, and at times he flips on that second gear and shows ridiculous acceleration downfield. Hey, this is a big win personally for my Devy squads. I got him everywhere, and that value is just climbing. I'm so glad I got in on him where I did. Now, as a true freshman for the Wolverines, he ran the ball 726 yards and 11 touchdowns on just 149 carries. Now, for some reason in 2020, he only gets 19 carries. He runs for 124 yards and a touchdown, but he's misutilized, and now he's heading west to UCLA. He is going to light up Pac-12 defenders. And take that aside, take the defenses he's running against aside. Let's look specifically at what the UCLA running backs have done over the last couple of years. Because I know you're saying UCLA running backs, that's not really, that's not something I equate to value. But look at the UCLA running backs over the last two seasons. Joshua Kelly in 2018 and 2019, absolutely ate. He tore it up, and he was a JUCO transfer. He heads to UCLA, wastes no time, steps into that offense, and absolutely produces, and he got a big bump to get to the NFL with those numbers. Zach Charbonnet is a much, much more skilled player than Joshua Kelly. So with that same opportunity, he's going to absolutely ball out. And Demetric Felton in 2020, despite it being a short year, he got to play running back and wide receiver, but he played primarily running back specifically in 2020. And he looked really good in that season playing at the running back position. So it's clear that UCLA is poised to support the Devy value of a guy like Zach Charbonnet. The sky is the ceiling. We're going to the moon. However you want to say it, you should be excited here about Zach Charbonnet. And there is no way that you are not excited about the pair of guys going to Florida. Yes, this is another two-parter. It's Eric Gilbert and DeMarcus Bowman, a pair of five-star steals that Florida was able to grab away from some of their staunchest competition and bring down to Gainesville. Now, clearly, Eric Gilbert is the headliner here, 6'5", 249 pounds. He's a tight end, and he's going to fill right in for that Kyle Pitts role. Now, he's a five-star tight end. That is a high, high hit rate when it comes to translation in the NFL. So when you're thinking of a Devy context, despite the fact that Eric Gilbert is only going to be a true sophomore, it's worth the investment because he has a high opportunity to hit when it comes to translating to the NFL. Now, as a true freshman, he had 35 receptions and 368 yards and two touchdowns in a broken LSU offense. It was like a carousel at the quarterback position this last year in Baton Rouge, and it didn't matter for Eric Gilbert. He was still able to make an impact on that squad. But don't sleep on DeMarcus Bowman either. Now, he's 5'10", 198 pounds, and many expected him to be the heir apparent for Travis Etienne in Clemson. Instead, without really ever playing for the Tigers, he transfers to Florida. And this is a wide open running back room. Florida is kind of known for being an offense that's going to establish the run. I know that's a taboo term, but in terms of your production that you want from your college guys, that's a good sign. Now, neither Pierce nor Malik Davis were really able to take over that room in 2020. So it's a wide open room. Add on to the fact that last year they passed the ball more often than they usually do because they have Kyle Trask. Now, both Anthony Richardson and Emory Jones are going to fight for that starting job in Florida. But one way or the other, both of those guys have a similar skill set, and it's going to lean towards the offense running the ball more. There's a tremendous opportunity here for DeMarcus Bowman. And I can tell you, you're definitely going to get him cheaper than you're going to get Eric Gilbert. And of course, number one on the big board, it is an absolute heartbreaker for my college football fandom, but it is Eric Gray, formerly the Tennessee Volunteer running back, and he's going to head on over to Oklahoma to be a Sooner. Now, I'm going to put a quick side note here. I mentioned Ty Chandler transferred from Tennessee earlier. I mentioned Eric Gray transferred from Tennessee. Now, look at the incoming guys in the Tennessee offense. It's going to be a complete flip over. Incoming high school player Cody Brown, the running back, he's a four-star guy. He could get a shot to play right away, and he's going to go really low in Devy drafts because there's a new coaching staff and he's an unknown recruit. We're not really sure where we're going to go with him, but I'm telling you, keep an eye on Cody Brown, the incoming running back for the Tennessee Volunteers, because there's all this missed opportunity. But back to Eric Gray, four-star recruit, three-time Mr. Tennessee Award winner. For those who aren't familiar, that's the best high school player in the state of Tennessee. He runs for 1,311 yards, eight touchdowns on 258 attempts in a less than exciting and less than efficient Volunteers offense over the last two seasons. Now, on top of that, he caught 43 balls for 369 yards and three touchdowns. He's explosive into the second level. He's a smooth runner. He's powerful enough to be a goal line threat, and he has solid vision. Now, here's where the honest evaluation of Eric Gray comes in. He struggled at times to break defenders in space or get to the second level quickly enough. Or I should say, once he was at the second level, really kick on that extra gear. He can get to the second level, but exploding from that point was his real struggle at Tennessee. That and breaking defenders in open space. So now he goes to Oklahoma, where his deficiencies couldn't be masked better. He's going to be running through wide open gaps. He's going to be running behind one of the best offensive lines in the country, easily a top three offensive line in the country, right? And he's going to be running against some of the worst defenders in the nation, at least some of the worst defenders in the Power Five. His skill set is going to look twice as nice, and legitimately, I do think he's also going to improve as a player over the next year. So not only are his deficiencies going to be massive, I also think he's going to improve. The box scores are going to be overflowing. This is an opportunity. This is an example for you to buy high. I don't usually use that phrase, but pay what you got to pay to get Eric Gray on your team right now, because his value is going to skyrocket. It's a really tight race in terms of the eligible running backs for next year's class. You know, how you want to have them ranked with Gray, Spiller, Ely, just right off the bat. And then you could, you know, dig a little bit deeper into, you know, guys like Jerome Ford, who I think could really be risers. But Eric Gray has to be in the conversation for top back in next year's class. I'm not saying he is going to be. I'm not guaranteeing that. But he's in the conversation. And him going to Oklahoma only increases his ability to be in that conversation. It certainly does not help him. That is our high impact Devy transfer big board. Reading it back here, Grant Gunnell, the big gunslinger from quarterback from Arizona, playing the quarterback position, heading to Memphis. Ty Chandler coming in at number nine, the under-the-radar running back who is going to have a good opportunity to produce for the Tar Heels in 2021. Coming in at number eight is Wandale Robinson, the athletic hybrid fun player from Nebraska who's transferred to Kentucky. Number seven, Charleston Rambo, the high-volume, field-stretching wide receiver, formerly a Sooner, heading to the Miami Hurricanes. Coming in at number six is Ramon Davis, the running back formerly of Temple, who's going to have the opportunity, I think, over the next 2 years to develop his skill set and develop his stats here in the Commodores offense. Coming in at number five is a pair of Florida State players. It's Mackenzie Millen and Andrew Parchment, who I think are both going to help each other grow into an NFL fast track with that skill set. Coming in at number four, Keontae Ingram, who fizzled out at Texas, but whose value I think will get a resurgence as he heads to USC. Coming in at number three is Zach Charbonnet, the running back formerly trapped in the Michigan offense, who will ball out in a really, really advantageous spot in UCLA. A pair of now Florida Gators and former five-star recruits are coming in at number two. That's Eric Gilbert, the tight end, and DeMarcus Bowman, the running back. And coming in here at number one, again, on the high-impact Devy transfer big board is Eric Gray, the former Tennessee Volunteer who is now heading to Oklahoma to play in Lincoln Riley's offense next to Spencer Rattler. There it is. That's the big board. I appreciate everybody listening. Please make sure to go ahead and leave it a like and a subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Leave it a five-star review and a rating if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast provider. And again, if you want to get access to the Rookie Big Board, the Devy Big Board, the Dynasty Big Board, the Slack channel, personalized advice, one-on-one rookie coaching calls as we head into rookie season, it's patreon.com/theFFEducator.